Who has a wonderful wife? Raise your hand. So you know how I feel. Always watching out for me, I tell you. Who just got in trouble for not raising your hand? You didn't raise it fast enough. Before we start, I am very excited, very pumped about this message. Actually, I cut it in half this morning. So you might think, hey, we're getting out early, but God just kept opening my eyes up and just trailing the scripture to where I didn't want to get through it so fast and miss. But before that, a few weeks ago, we lost a wonderful, wonderful person, Loetta Lewis. She had battled cancer for some time, over 2 years. Tried everything she could try, and different doctors, just different remedies. And just if I could picture humility and love, it was just Loetta, soft-spoken, but would do whatever you would need. She actually, we had in-stay studies in here, which is the course that I took to get my pastor's license. She actually taught that for a while, did the studies and taught that. She helped out in just about every ministry that you could help out. Raised her kids in the Lord and prayed for her husband for all the years of her life. And when she passed, of course, people were asking me, hey, what's going on as far as the celebration of life? And at this time, the family would like to look at that later. They're just dealing with her passing. So I don't know the answer to that, but if you would just keep the family in prayer, God just needs to do a great work there. And sometimes in the presence of someone so godly as Loetta, when she's gone, sometimes you might think that has an adverse effect, but God can actually work in ways that would say, you know what, maybe now we can get to business on what needs to be done. So just pray for the family. Pray that God would be the very center and they would understand him as who he really is and what a gift that God had given that entire family and Loetta. I'd appreciate that. Okay, reboot. We're talking about healthy lives. Last week we started relational health. It just left me for a second. And so relational health isn't something that I could just crack out in 1 week. So what God gave me last week, I thought was phenomenal. But this week, we're going to hit a little tougher subject. But it's something each and every one of us deal with. You most likely have different areas in your life right now where this may be a part of a lot of those areas. And it is this, conflict. Who here has to deal with conflict? What does conflict involve? Conflict can involve every relationship in your life. It's where you and someone, or you with yourself, are not getting along. Anyone ever not get along with yourself? It happens. I mean, Paul talks about it. Hey, there's things I want to do, I don't, things I should, and I'm not. I mean, and so a lot of times conflict starts within yourself, and conflict can pop up at the craziest of moments. And what happens is it's extremely divisive. And sometimes it's a real meaning. It's like two people or two groups of people, they're just locking horns. They just see so differently. But so many times it's just a lack of communication, lack of understanding. And sometimes it's just flat, you know. Have you ever done something that you went to bless someone and it came back the opposite way? You're trying to help. Maybe you grab the groceries from someone and they look at you and think, what, you think I'm too old to carry my own groceries? I mean, conflict can start at the weirdest of moments. And so I have a fun hypothetical. This hasn't happened, by the way, but, well, this actually did happen. My phone, as of Thursday night, just decided that it no longer wanted to work. And so it says cellular error. And if you go to text or call, it instantly, the second that you press call or text, it just says failed. It won't even make an attempt. And so as a busy person and a pastor, I get messages and I have things I need to answer to. And I just sent something out to Chad. Hey, give me a call. I need to talk to you about something, Pastor Chad. And so that night, he's not calling me, which is odd. He gets back to me very quickly. And so what could I think about throughout that night when he's not calling me? well, what's going on? Well, I'm not important to you anymore. I mean, seriously. There's a person I'm friends with, kind of a shut-in. He texts me several times throughout the day. Sometimes it's jokes, sometimes it's, hey, would you pray with me? And so he hasn't received anything back from me. What do you think's going on in his mind? Oh, Matt gave up on me. Or, hey, is everything okay? I mean, you just don't know. Conflict can come at the worst of times. Linda Jansen, is she upstairs? Linda's on my board. She sent me a text, said, hey, I can't make it. I knew this because it was a shared text with my wife's phone. Can't make it to the bonfire. She makes every bonfire. She's always there. She had something else going on. And I always answer these texts back quickly. Hey, don't worry about it. Have a great time and enjoy life with your granddaughters. So she sends me this text. I don't text back. We just had a board meeting on Wednesday. Our board, we don't always get along in those meetings. We love each other, but we're human and we disagree. We have to fight. What do you think her mind's doing? Or could it be doing? Oh, he's holding this against me. He's not getting back to me because... I mean, conflicts can pop. Now, that didn't happen. I pray it didn't. But conflicts can pop out of anywhere. And you know what the problem is when it comes to a conflict? Right here. The only way to resolve a conflict is to what? Face it. We have to face the things that are in our lives that are bugging our hearts, our spirits, our souls. If we don't face them, we leave the imagination up to the mind as to what's even going on. Then there's the conflicts at home where you're right next to the person. Have you ever had a situation with your husband or wife or a significant other or kids, someone's within the home, and you know something's wrong, but you're just not talking about it? You go through the whole dinner and you're just not speaking about it. Or in your mind, you tell yourself, if I attempt this, this is going to happen, so I'm just going to stay away. And so they go unresolved. In conflicts, they fester. It's like you ever had a splinter that gets way deep inside. There's no way it's coming out, but over time it begins to push and it hurts and it's like pussy and infected and have I grossed anybody out yet? The conflicts can do that to you if you don't deal with them. And it's crazy. Matter of fact, the wife said, show me some of your hands of who have I asked to meet with in the last few months, several of you would raise your hand. It's not because I have an issue with you. It's because I don't want to have an issue with you. And so especially a lot of my leaders, I say, hey, let's get together. Let's meet in my office, and I want to talk to you about something. And so I love just laying things out so we understand each other totally. And if there is an issue, well, then we can talk it out. But it's open communication. And so I love that. I was watching this video. It was Pastor Rick Warren, mega church. Actually, he's recently just retired, but has written a lot of books, great author, just a man of God. He understands the word, and he picks through it very well. And he started this service with the scripture and opened the scripture up in ways I've never seen it before. So I want us to start right there. And this, I'm telling you, if you're tired, hang on with me for 5 minutes. Okay, because this is incredible. If you truly are saying, I am a child of God, I have asked Christ into my heart, I want to live as a Christian, this passage of Scripture, when we begin to break it down, is just going to amaze you. I've never seen it so full as I've seen it in this last week. So if you are presenting a sacrifice at the altar in the temple, and you suddenly remember that someone has something against you, leave your sacrifice there at the altar, go and be reconciled to that person. Then come and offer your sacrifice to God. So this is kind of written, you know, this is an old writing. The Bible's, it's dated in a way. And so you might be just read, okay, sacrifice at the altar. Yeah, back in the Old Testament, they'd have sacrifices for sins and this. But let's break this down to today. Let's take a look at this. So if you're presenting a sacrifice at the altar in the temple, what does that mean? We have come to a place of worship. So right now, this is our temple. We have come here, and by presenting a sacrifice, you are saying to God, that God, you are my God. I love you. I'm pledging my life to you. I have come here to worship you, so I am giving you my heart, soul, and my life. Father, and this maybe happened through a lot of worship services. Lord God, search me. You know me. Point out the ways I need help. Would you please come in now and forgive me for my sins? Purify me, dear God. This is a place where a lot of people just come in and say, hey, this is the day where I make it right. I like to do that every day, but this is the day where I get right with God. So basically, this is saying, you have come before God in a place of worship, asking for forgiveness, for purification, for God to guide us in our life. So that's what we're getting in this first part. So now we are come. Now, so picture yourself, you're in that frame of mind. So as you're in that frame of mind, as you're going through the worship service, as you're just laying it all out to God, saying, man, show me where I need to go. Forgive me my sins. God, have your way in my life today. May I leave this place a better person than when I came in. As that's happening, as we go on, and it says, and suddenly, this is interesting. So after you've done all this, you're opening yourself up to God. You're now an open book to him. And suddenly, remember that someone has something against you. What does that suddenly remember mean, do you think? There you go. You put your place, yourself in the place to be open to God. You're vulnerable. You're realizing that he is your God. His son, Jesus Christ, loves you, died for your sins. I mean, I pray that, not that we always come in every Sunday this tuned into what we need, but I pray that that's what we're doing here, that we're allowing God in a pool of believers that are just trying to do life together to speak into our hearts. So now that we're speaking, and this suddenly remember wasn't just a memory thing, the Holy Spirit has now prompted an issue, which is exactly what should happen. If you're saying, God, you know, forgive me for my sins, it's very possible that a sin's going to pop up that you're thinking about. So when those issues happen and something pops up, that needs to mean something to us. That something is going to need some attention. And so by the prompting of the Holy Spirit, suddenly, you remember that someone has something against you. Leave your sacrifice there at the altar. Go and be reconciled to that person. So the go, that's where you have to ask yourself, okay, I'm just laying it before God. This thing that's just been ruining my life and my mind, just mentally taking me over, this conflict has popped in my head. What do I do with it? God says, go and deal with it. Bring it out in the open. Let's give this thing a chance. Has anyone ever just prayed about it, but you forget to go? So you're praying. This relationship comes in. Maybe it's, say, let's just hypothetically your best friend, and there's just something they said that just cut you to the core. Maybe they compared your kids or something and they don't even know that they did anything, but you think they did do, and it's bugging you. And so you just pray harder. Lord God, be with them. Change their heart. May they come back to me and apologize. May do something in them. But what's God say to do? It's been presented to you. Go. Go. I had a situation happen one time. I will never forget it. God used it to make me a better person. It was in ministry, and I was using, I had youth pastor, I had staff, and I'm crazy big youth group at the time, and I had all these different people that would come in and want to help me, and my youth group was a little unruly. We were getting, we called them the street kids. They come in, sometimes lit, you know, sometimes go over in the corner and smoke marijuana, come in all calmed down. Actually made them more calm when I was preaching. That kind of helped out, but I wasn't pushing it, by the way. But cigarettes, sometimes drinking, but they just needed to see the love of Jesus. And so with some of my staff, sometimes I would put people in charge of certain groups, and then I purposely didn't involve this person because I thought it was very intimidating, so I thought I'm going to give them a break And so come to find out later, this person, and I only know it because they came up to me and they said, you know what? I just want to be used. And you didn't use me. And I'd hurt this person. And it was not my intention. I was trying to say, hey, they probably don't want to be in this mess. I'm going to give them a break. And what that taught me was, and going for, I had to look at this person and say, you know what? That's exactly what I did. Not what I meant, but that's exactly what I did. And I am so sorry. It was not my intention at all. But it helped me understand in going through in my ministry how to use people and how to talk to about them at where they're at and what they're comfortable with. That actually changed the way I could minister in that area so I could never hurt someone again. And sometimes it was the opposite. I would push someone and someone might come back and not want to be pushed. Anyone here ever been pushed by me in a way you're saying, I don't want to do that? Yeah, I'm looking at Christy. I'm pushing her all over the place. She started pushing back, though, so it's kind of fair. I've had to do some things that's out of my comfort zone. I'm telling you. So, and there's certain times when confrontation, it opens up such a possibility, such a realm where I can see, well, that actually blessed my life, although I had to be very sorry for the way that I made somebody feel. And so the going is so important. Can you control how a conversation is going to go when you start it? You can't. I want to give just a little bit of advice here. One thing I do when I confront is I make sure it's the right time. You ever had an issue with someone and they say something a little bit that just ticks you off and you're like, you know, since you brought that up, and then you go, that's not the right time. It is not the right time. So I usually will get with someone and say, hey, I need to talk with you. And so can we do it? See, I get off of work at this time. Can we meet here for coffee? And sometimes it's the right place. If I think it's going to be somewhat volatile, sometimes I know who you're talking with, if they're loud or quiet or this. And so maybe it might be at my house or at church. But I want the right time. I want the right place. And you want to be completely prayed up because you want this relationship to work. Hopefully it's a selfish situation or selfless situation where God's the very center of it and you just want this relationship back. And so be very careful about how you confront that. Set up a time. Maybe it's a phone call or some of the texts and emails, you can't always tell the voice and hear the emotion. So I usually like to be in front of someone or on the phone saying, hey, I just want to talk to you about something or this thing's kind of eating on me and I just want us to work this out. So let's meet at this time. You be prayed up, and when you get there, and this is what Rick Warren even really pushed, he said the best way to start a conversation to work through a conflict is to lay down your areas of fault. Because if you ever walk up to somebody and you say, Davey, I want to talk to you. You said something the other day that was way out of line, and it really ticked me off. So we just got into the conversation. What do you think's going on in him right now? Well, he doesn't want to tick anybody off, do you? Or do you like ticking? I don't think you like. Sometimes. Or if I sat down and say, Dave, you know, we had this talk the other day, and I said something that I probably shouldn't have. I was being a little snarky, and I just want to apologize. So I'm paying attention to what, if I had a fault. And Rick Warren says, if you have 1% fault in 99% of the situation, lay that out there. Let people know that I'm here for the relationship. And then allow them to speak back. You may hear what you want to hear. They may say, you know what, you weren't a half of it. It was probably me. Or you may hear, yeah, you were. You shouldn't have done that. And then that may be the end of the conversation. You say, I just wanted to make that right. We can only control us. And so what happens so often is this person can't be offended. And so our most important thing is that we leave a situation feeling good about us. But I want to feel good about my relationship with God. So if we go back through this, We're here before God. We're presenting our sacrifice. We're laying our life out before Him. We remember that something's happened. And then He says, go. Guess what happens if I don't go? God just asked me to do something to make it right. If I don't go, I am now blocking my worship with God. You see, this problem now has gotten into where I'm going to act out of disobedience to my God and do things the way that I think they should be done. How does that one work? And so now what I think is just this disagreement with someone else, I actually have a problem with my Father because I'm walking in disobedience to what He's asked me to do. He desires for all of us to love unconditionally, to have patience with each other, to make allowance for each other's faults, is what the Word says. And so I'm finding reason as to why I can't do that. And some of us, it's reasoning of how it's going to go. I mean, we can have all these different reasons. But either way you shake it, we're being disobedient to what God's asking us to do. So we go on, says this, never pay back evil with more evil. Do things in such a way that everyone can see you are honorable. Do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. Never pay back evil with evil. What happens when you get hurt? What's the initial reaction? They call it the knee-jerk reaction. Anyone come up and just punch you square in the face? I was a kid one time, raised up in West Des Moines. It was Phoenix Elementary School. We were kind of scrappers. I don't know why, just, you know, lower middle income families go there. You had a disagreement, you just start swinging punches at each other. And one time, a friend of mine, just maybe he was goofy, I don't remember, he just kind of popped me, and I just instantly just jacked him right in the head. What do you do that for? I don't know, you hit me. I mean, it was just this knee-jerk reaction. Well, sometimes when it comes to conflict, that's what happens. Someone gets at you, and you just get right back. Man, I see it at work every single day. They call it fun jabbing, but then behind the scenes, you hear some rumblings. It wasn't so fun. It wasn't just jabs. Satan has a little bit of deception going on in there, and he's trying to hurt a relationship. And so we want to pay back evil with evil. You want to screw somebody up? Take their evil and pay it back with good. I had a conversation the other day with someone who was not in a good mood at all, and I happened to be in the way. And so after a while, I just refused to take the evil, and I just kind of played it off, and I simply just walked away from the conversation. Because when you get with people who are just aggravated at life, they almost want that confrontation. They almost want that conflict so they can try and get this bitterness and hatred out. Nothing ever happens good out of it. Wasn't going to say this, but now I'm going to. Rick Warren calls them crazy makers. I struggle to say that because I don't want anyone to think if you're one that has constant conflict in your life that you're a crazy maker. But when I look at it in a different way, there are people in our lives who, as you attempt to resolve conflict, will make you crazy. And the way Rick Warren put it was, you just have to walk away. There are people who are steeped in a bitterness that they don't seem to want to be out of. They will create conflict on a daily basis. I've watched it done because of attention. It's an attention getter, and some people just need that attention, and they do it through conflict. They'll walk into the center of a crowd, and usually you'll recognize these people by the second that they're there, they're speaking and you're no longer speaking. They've interrupted the conversation, it's about them, and so they're searching in a way to feel good about themselves, but they go about it all the wrong way, and it's just so difficult. And then you will, at times, if you push and push and push and try and try and try, you will go nuts. And so sometimes there are people in your lives where you simply have to walk away, but you can do it in a manner that's respectful and it's honorable. What's it say here? Do things in such a way that everyone can see that you are honorable. So even situations that you're like, man, this conflict just isn't going to go away. you can still handle it in a manner to where you're not downing them, you're not pointing out issues in them, you're not saying, well, this is me, oh yeah, we'll take a look at you. That's going nowhere. You're feeding this fire that's only going to rage more and more and more. Some people make cutting remarks, but the words of the wise bring healing. What's a cutting remark, anybody? Sarcasm. You have a problem, and you're going to deal with it in such a way that, can I say it honestly, you're kind of being a wuss. I have a problem with you, but I'm just going to throw a little sarcastic jab at you. Let's not sit down like adults and talk about it, even born-again Christians for that matter, and just talk about this. I'm just going to jab you a bit. I'm just going to cut. Who is the center of attention when you're making a cutting remark? It's you. I've been offended. I'm worried about me. I'm just going to cut on you a bit. That does nothing for anybody whatsoever. Does it honor God? Does it give an opportunity for the conflict to be resolved? Absolutely not. Is it, laying your sacrifices, before God and remembering I have a problem and going? No, it's further detonating the problem. It's just digging yourself just a little bit of a deeper hole. Some people make cutting remarks, but the words of the wise, they bring healing. Cutting remarks awfully reveal your intentions. And so if we date back to the first scripture, our intentions as born-again Christians need to be to honor God. And God desires that we build a relationship with people in order to show them the light of Christ. And so if my intentions are being revealed by me cutting on someone, I'm struggling as a Christian to do what I've been called to do. I'm not honoring God. I'm not looking at this person who's someone who needs to see the light. I'm worried about me and how I feel and how personally I'm taking all these things. Christians, we have to be thick-skinned, or Satan will have a field day with our emotions. So there's some hurts that I carry inside of me that I just carry them. I'm like, well, that's not fair. Well, there's just people in life that, like I said, they're not going to give back in the way that I think a devout born-again Christian can give because they don't understand it. But when you can love and you can get down and you can let someone see, hey, let's sit down and let's talk about this. You offer an opportunity for them to see the love and life of Jesus Christ through you, and you offer this phenomenal opportunity for a relationship, to have a bond. Do you realize that maybe some of us could raise your hands? Don't. But there are people that have carried bitternesses for 50 and plus years of a relationship that was damaged and never rebuilt again. And that relationship damage is carried with them, kind of a hatred and a bitterness and a bite in my case, that I have to carry. And so that actually does something to me and my personality. If you've ever talked to someone who just seems like they're in a bad mood all the time, things have happened in their life that have caused that. And they haven't found a way to get rid of it or a healthy way to make it right. Conflict resolution means I can actually take that garbage off and be released of it, either by rebuilding a relationship or realizing that this relationship isn't one of those that's going to be worth pulling me down. So confronting your issues is so, so important. It's so godly. It's so biblical. But hiding and sucking them in is going to eat you up. It's going to damage relationships, and it's going to rob you from showing someone the light of Jesus Christ. So these cutting remarks, they serve no purpose whatsoever, but the words of the wise bring healing. There's so much power when we do things God's way. Aren't you glad I cut my sermon in half? We'd just be getting started here. It's time to go. By facing conflict, a relationship that may have otherwise been lost has the opportunity to be restored. By what? By facing. By going head on and facing it. But this is the way I'd ask that you do it. And we just to re-up a little bit of what we already said. Hang out with God. Realize what your hurt is. Realize what your place is in that hurt. Set up an opportunity to share this with someone. Open to them first, your side, and then just listen. If it goes where you want it to go, praise God, embrace, get your relationship back. If it doesn't, realize that you have done what God has asked you to do. And now you can walk away with a conscience, although maybe not the relationship, a conscience that says, God, I followed your word. And I would guess about 90% of relationships can be restored. Crazy makers, we can't control that. So I want to take just a few minutes. We're going to put some music on. I want my leaders to be prepared too. If you're in a situation where you're just broken and you don't know what to do, there's a conflict. Maybe it's been a day, maybe it's been years, but it's eating you alive. And you just want to be uplifted and upheld and say, hey, I do need help in this area. If you would come and just sit in these front rows, I just want us as leaders just to pray over you and agree with you. Don't have to. You can sit right there and pray to God yourself. If you're saying, no, this is deep, I need to partner with someone, would you do that? So let's just take a time of prayer right now. If that's you, come on up. If it's not, just keep praying and allow God to speak to you, to open up your mind and heart about these conflicts, about people in your life where you need to make that move. The very things or the very people in our lives that we have pledged ourselves to, that we are closest to, that we are around the most, probably have the most opportunities for these style of conflicts. I pray for any marriage in this place or anyone listening where you have an area in life where you just think, I can't go there, I just can't, it won't be accepted. May you break that. May that be an open dialogue. May that be something where we can realize that, hey, we need selfishness to go away, we need selflessness to come, we need to love each other as ourselves. Dear God, may you restore those relationships. For areas of conflict and friendships, dear God, I've seen some beautiful friendships lost for some very silly reasons. Allow us to hear your voice and to go. And just do love on these people that were once so important to us. May we not consider it worthy of a lost relationship. Dear God, I pray for parents to their children. So often, the young, and I was there, there's so much that we don't talk about. And our attitudes say that there's a problem, but our mouths don't say a word. So I pray for that relationship between parents and children within this place. May you lower those walls that Satan's built up and allow there to be a dialogue, an open conversation. And I pray for parents that aren't used to listening. Maybe they're just used to giving instruction. May they have a listening ear and hear the hearts of their kids. May that relationship be built. May those relationships be restored. And for all the other areas in our lives where conflict has just gotten in, I pray against the power of Satan right now. Dear God, through your Holy Spirit, may we act in the way that your word has asked us to act and allow just an opportunity for these conflicts to be resolved, for restoration to come back to these relationships. Thank you, dear God, for the ability to walk in the truth and watch how it works. May your light be spread through our obedience to your word. May these misgivings or misunderstandings or just differences in opinion not wreck relationships, because you've called us to love one another with an unconditional love. And you sent your son down to die for those who you knew were going to be sinning against you. May we love in the way that you love, dear God. Thank you for this opportunity just to hear your word, to apply it to our lives, and to change our world because of it. We pray all of this in your name alone. Amen.